Are you ready to present? Okay.
Oh, I must. Yes.
Okay. Well, presenter. Look on the computer.
Okay.
It's fine. Can you go straight to the budget? We will rely on the hard copies that you have that you have circulated.
Okay.
No?
Yes.
We'll rely on that. Leave the computer alone. It's giving you trouble. It's wasting our time. Let's focus. We'll focus on the hard copies that you gave to us. Go straight to the budget.
Thank you, Chair. I'll start with the income side of the budget, just to indicate where we generate our revenue. The grant that we'll be receiving from National Treasury for the year is 408 million, and we are anticipating or we've projected revenue of about 4.3 million from interest on loans. This is interest from the loan book that has both been inherited from Umsobomvu Youth Fund and the loan that has been advised by the NYDA prior as stopping for the provision of loans and replacing it with grant funding. Then we're anticipating also to receive about 4 million from the interest on bank, from our main bank account. We have donor funding that has been committed to the value of about 7.8 million. This is donor funding from various donors. And then we have management fees that we get from the agreement that we have with Mercita, where we run programs on their behalf within a scaling environment. We also have an investment that we have inherited from the former Umsobomvu Youth Fund. This was a partnership with First National Bank. This investment is now on this investment stage. The fair value adjustment of the fund of the joint venture keeps on being revalued from time to time, and we anticipate that this year we will realize about 1.3 million from that. We also have an agreement with IDC wherein they have committed 10 million rand to support our work on vouchers. And for this year, they will be giving us, or they've committed to give us 6 million rand to support the voucher program. We are expecting to collect about 11.5 million from the loan book that I've made reference to before. How the expenditure patterns will be like, we will be spending about 77 million rand on salaries for support staff and about 111 million for salaries relating to project-related work that we do as the agency. Our operating expenses will be to the tune of about 80 million, and project investments for various projects will be at about 80 million. Or sorry, 132 million, and then the grant funding program we have set aside 25 million in that regard for cooperatives, 10 million, and for individuals, 10 million, and then for co-funding, this is where we do work with other government departments. In the past, we have done more work here with rural development as well as agriculture, and then the non-cash items will be mainly depreciation and the payment. And we have set aside about 4.8 million for the capital investment in terms of the branches that we intend to either refurbish or to open. Then the next slide, in terms of the presentation that honorable members have, will speak to the breakdown of salary. We have of the 189 million of the salaries, about 131 relate to general staff, executives and senior managers, 45 million, and then board fees, 2.5 million, and the provincial advisory board, which were set aside, 6.5 million. Here, we currently do not have provincial advisory board, but noticing that the Act is was under review at the time this budget was prepared, and the anticipation that the Act would be passed by Parliament in the year, we have just set aside the 6.5 million in case that approval happens and it comes with the provincial advisory board structure that has been there in the history of the NYDA. However, we have committed, or the approach that we have taken with the board is that in the event that that approval does not come this year, or the final approval does not include the advisory board, these funds will be redirected to programs, specifically the grant funding program and the Solomon Mashiyangu Scholarship Fund. And then the 2.8 million is then set aside for temporary workers that will be required from time to time to assist the work of the agency. Then just the detailed breakdown of what then makes up the operational expenditures as well as the project disbursements on page 4. Administration will be spending about 1.4 million on communications and PR, 10.5 million. Salaries and wages, 74 million. Other employee related costs, about 2.6 million. On IT, we'll be spending about 13 million. And outsourcing and external services, will be spending about 13.7 million. On overhead, 26 million. Seminars and training, about 7.1 million. And travel and accommodation, about 8 million. In relation to the work that, or the funding that we'll be directly putting to administrate, I mean, to project disbursements in their variety, which I'll speak to later on in detail. 2.9 million would be going to administration, communications and PR, that is project related, 22 million, salaries and wages, 111 million, information technology, 2.3 million, outsourcing and external services, 38 million, and overheads in relation to this, 16 million, seminars and training, 42 million, external disbursements, 11 million, and travel and accommodation, 21 million, and then capital expenditure was raised to about 4.8 million. Then the next slide just basically gives an overview of the donor fund fees that I've spoken to earlier on when I was presenting the side of the income. Front-end fees are already, so front-end fees relate to what we will be getting from the loan provisions that we have already provided for in the during the time of provision of loans. Then we have a donor that is from the Flemish government, and which focuses more on sponsoring volunteer work in South Africa amongst young people. The same with the Prince of Wales, which is about 236,000, and then UNFPA, about 21,000 for the year. The Mercita Career Guidance Funding of 1.9 million, and then DTI was also, we're expecting 1 million. And then we also have a bit of the donor funding coming from CETA and ETDP CETA. And then in terms of the expenditure pay program will be economic participation, which is mainly the work that we do within the economic development space. We have rural development and the voucher program that I've spoken to, market linkages, and the mentorship programs, entrepreneurship development program, and then the grant funding, as alluded earlier on, and then we also have a job placement program and economic participation. On education and skills development, we have job preparedness, training that we provide. We have the matric rewrite program, who afford the young people who would not pass matric an opportunity to write matric again. We have the Solomon Mashiyangu Scholarship Fund program. And then on national youth service, we have civil society program. We have the national youth-based program, where young people are trained on the skills on artisan skills, and then we have the volunteer programs that are that are different in terms of the main issues that arise in a particular year. Typical programs like this would be in the previous financial year where we had elections, young people would have been recruited to be volunteers, would then go and encourage young people to register to vote and to go out there and vote. The 1 million that appears as the bill is for, we are intending to open a youth build school which will focus more on training on the skills that young people, especially out of school young people, can be trained. It's skills like bricklaying, painting, electrical engineering, wiring, and plumbing, and other programs like that. And then on health and well-being, we will be having a health and well-being skills program, and we'll also be having campaigns that we'll be running together with other partners like Love Life and Sanka. And one of the programs that we have done as well in this space is with the SAB, which discourages young people from indulging on alcohol and substance abuse. In terms of the policy and research development work, we are intending to be investing in the development of youth index so that we can monitor the progress that we are making in achieving youth development in the country. We also will be launching a youth development research institute in partnership with the University of Johannesburg, which will focus more on conducting research work on best practices for youth development and providing training and development for youth workers across the board, both in the public sector and as well as civil society organizations. We'll also be investing in the development of the South African Youth Employment Strategy 2055. Here we'll be doing research work in looking at the challenges that are presenting the barrier between young people and employment and that which needs to be done in order to intervene in the challenges to ensure that young people are able to find employment. This is a long-term strategy that is looking at 2055. We'll also be doing investing on knowledge management as well as new youth programs. There will be designing new youth development programs that we will pilot, and then those that work will then be able to hand over to other government departments to roll out and upscale in that regard. We'll also be doing work on monitoring and evaluation of youth development work that is happening both in the public sector, private sector, as well as civil society. We'll also focus on outreach programs that are aimed at reaching young people, specifically in rural areas, to ensure that they are able to access the products and services of the NYDA. And then we'll also focus on lobby and advocacy, which will be a program that is aimed at encouraging the private sector, civil society, to invest a little bit more on youth development and also to take youth development into account when planning and budgeting happens. And then we'll also focus on programs that are aimed at advancing the inclusion of women and disabled youth, as well as hosting a number of dialogue sessions where young people should be able to define and identify the challenges that faces them and the intervention that they believe that as the NYDA and as government in general should be doing in order to address their plight moving forward. The other programs will be that we'll be focusing on is the Youth Month program, which is a yearly program where we commemorate the events of June 16, 1976 with a view of encouraging young people to tackle the challenges that faces them today, following the spirit of those and the commitment of those who came before them. We'll also have a special program that will be delivered from the Chairperson's Office and the Deputy Chairperson's Office that are aimed at interventions that are aimed at speeding up the youth development program and work for the country. And then we'll continue to work on the finalization and contributions on the professionalization of youth work bill, which will then govern the profession of youth work in the country. Divisional allocations, economic development, the allocation there is 63 million overall, national youth service and skills development 72 million, research and policy we're investing 26 million, corporate partnerships 14 million, and service delivery channels 84 million, and the chief executive officers 19 million, chief financial officer 17 million and chief operating officer 5 million. The on the IT division will be investing 24 million, on communications and public relations 27 million, corporate services 49 million, and executive director's office, which is the two offices, being the executive chair and the deputy chair, executive chairperson, 31 million. And then additions to property, plant and equipment, we're looking at addition of about 4.8 million, as I've indicated, mainly for these old improvements and the new office that we anticipate to open in the financial year. Thank you, Chairperson.
Alright, thank you very much. We're going to take questions from NYDA. I can see members are already indicating interest. No, first NYDA, because of their way they've just presented. And then after that, monitoring and evaluation. Okay, I'm going to recognize hands. Honorable Lukuma, Honorable Derek, Honorable Kado, Mende, Honorable Mende, Masami, very bad. Okay, fine.
Honorable Chair, thanks NYPA for the presentation. At least now I understand what you do. Having said that, Chair, are you on? I'm just supporting what I'm going to ask with the statement. After our mission and vision as NYDA, probably even to give us a structure, how do you look like? You're organogram sort of. It's a statement. Chair, which will also give us an understanding and appreciation of your staff compliment. Because looking at the salaries and wages, I would like to term it that way. It's almost, if we make it around figure, 200 million, as opposed to 408 million that we get from government. Which I don't have a problem with, that people, if you want to get a good job, you must pay people, you must retain them so that you are able to attract them. However, in terms of your summary budget and your grant income, interest loans, do you loan somebody and then they don't pay and then you accumulate interest? Can you just explain that? Or you invest somewhere and you get interest? I would like to be naive as possible when it comes to this question. The other one, Chair, it's the way we appreciate the transparency, sincerely so. Your breakdown in terms of the top management, if I may, and their programs and budget allocated to those officers. One, just to be schooled on this one, the rationale around your chairperson, deputy chairperson, CEO's office having a budget, which has got your project cost and your employee cost. What informs that? Do you have I see a sense of not deliberately so, but a perception that is created that it seems like all these three offices, they are committing to shine to do, haven't done something, or having a workforce under them. I'm not too sure which model did we use to have that organogram and allocation of budget. The other one, Chair, going to same subject,
sub-question under salaries and wages of the top management. The difference of the project cost and CAPEX. CAPEX is capital project. But we have separated that one. What's different, the way you have allocated the funds here, the project cost and the CAPEX one, what's the difference? I won't be long chair, which I'm myself now in the abstention. The other one, the explanation in terms of the distribution of funds, whether it's disbursement or whatever, I don't know what's the difference between the two, the way we have written here. And one will request an explanation so that we have a better appreciation of the financial breakdown. The grant funding on individuals. What criteria do you use? I know it's detailed, you can pack it for the next presentation, but it does give a sense of discomfort, I must say. The other one, in terms of, you are also, I'm sure you are mindful that most of your targets, you will not necessarily achieve it by yourself. You need to forge a partnership with other departments. At no way where you have also found your expression in terms of your presentation that you acknowledge that. And I'm sure come next year you would have achieved this, because I don't know what the target, which is good that you've got targets. Everybody has to have targets so that you can measure. Looking at the allocation of funds, how you're going to achieve that, I don't know. It's just food for thought. Thank you to myself, I'm sharing. The next honorable member.
Thank you, honorable chair. I understand, you know, in terms of my understanding, is that you all are relatively new there, and I think maybe a year or so you have been appointed. I can remember you were appointed about a year or so ago. And my understanding is that y'all are new there, and that y'all have inherited a lot of stuff from the past, you know, something that did not go right in the past, which y'all have inherited. Now, I'm asking this question, not a reflection on y'all, you know, no reflection on y'all. You raised the issue about the loan book, so I assume when you speak about the loan book, you are saying that we have given people loans, and we are people are paying back the loans, and we are going to get interest on the loans. What I want to know from you is that, where is the debtors book? Surely when you got in there, there was a debtors book there. How big is that debtors book, and what are you doing about that debtors book? It must be millions, that debtors book. So let's just talk about the debtors book, because we cannot take taxpayers' money and just say yes, we are new, and this debtors book we throw to the staff, but we cannot. We need to do something about it. I need to clarify on that day. That's the first thing. Then the second thing is just a general comment. You know, chair, I always used to pronounce it wrong when they used to ask me about it, and they always pronounce it right, and I always think I say YDA and something, because I have never no real interest in the but so NYDA, chair, it is very popular throughout the country. Where you go, you hear about NYDA. You're extremely popular, but on the other hand, you find that these people that talk about y'all all the time about just NYDA, they have no access to y'all. They simply have no access to y'all. The accessibility is a real, real problem. They know about NYDA, but they'll always ask you when you go to communities, how do we get in contact with them? So what I want to see, if you want 400 million rand from up to approve 400 million rand, we must, that money must be used in such a way that millions of or hundreds of thousands of youth in this country must have access to it. Must not just be a few people, and the youth basically feel, it comes from the youth from the ruling party, basically feel it's just y'all guys on the board and a few of y'all that have connected to y'all on the board that Yeah, to see that maybe the opposition will feel to some ANC youth that are the beneficiaries. Not the ANC youth that are beneficiaries, the ANC youth is also complaining that they have totally no access to y'all. They don't know where to find y'all, they don't know how to locate y'all. So maybe the issue that the acting chair was raised yesterday about in other departments, about the train and the bus to go out to communities. I think you'll need to look at how to go and really market yourself to youth and so the youth can have access to y'all. But that's the problem. There's no access. In Peter Marisburg, I do not know a single youth that has been assisted by NYDA. Not a single youth. I've been looking for some of them that have been assisted. None of them been assisted. In KZN, I don't know about a single youth. Wherever I go, the youth are complaining. That does NYDA supposed to be there to assist them to get into the economy of this country, and they are getting no assistance from NYDA. So that's the issue that you'll need to address. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair President. I've just hijacked the microphone. Oh, okay.
Engosi Mhlali ngaphambili. Now I will base my questions on economic participation. On page 6 of your document. Firstly, I would like to get an understanding. Rural development has been allocated 222,733. That's too little. And yet, you get voucher program with 8 million. The people in the rural areas, they don't even see NYDA. So the development there is not actually a priority in terms of your budget. And can you at least indicate or explain why is it so low in terms of the allocation? And again, on the funding, like Uchief Whip has indicated that what criteria are you using for individuals? But I also want to get an understanding. The individuals are equivalent to cooperatives. So I'm not sure if the individuals that you are talking about here is individuals that are having businesses or is individuals that are just people doing whatever they are doing with their money. And thirdly, you have an allocation at National Youth Service, Youth Build, and you also have an allocation of 1 million at Youth Build School. What is the difference between the two? Because to me, they seem to be talking to the same thing. And I'm not sure if I don't understand it correctly. There is a 10 million for the Youth Build, and again, you have a Youth Build School for 1 million. Is there a difference between the two things?
I've got a few questions. Firstly, I mean, I'm quite surprised to see that there's 190 million rand being dedicated to salaries, which I think if you work it out is almost about 40% of total expenditure. You know, I'm curious to know how many people are employed by the organisation, and if there's been an attempt since the firing of the previous CEO and some other former staff members to restructure salary bands. I mean, I think in 2012-2013, the CEO was earning 2.4 million rand, which is an astronomical salary, I mean, more than the deputy president earns. What could possibly justify that? So it would be very useful and interesting for us to see a detailed breakdown of salaries and whether there's been a readjustment exercise since that. Secondly, I would say that given that South Africa has the third highest youth unemployment rate in the world, that the focus should very much be on economic opportunities, and I'm curious to know what the agency is doing to drive the implementation of the Employment Incentive Act, the Youth Wage Subsidy, which will come into effect later this year. What are the plans on that regard? Thirdly, I see that there's 5 million rand dedicated to a Youth Development Research Institute, which sounds quite little. You said there's a link up with the University of Johannesburg. I'd be curious to know what they're contributing what the mandate of the institute is, when it's going to be set up, how many staff members there are going to be, what it's actually going to be doing. Then next, a specific question on a line item marked special programs in the chairperson's office, allocated 7.8 million rand. What exactly are those special programs? And finally, we've had some discussion around the loan book. What is the plan to recover loans of, I think the Auditor General put the sum about 200 million rand when he addressed this, well, the Standing Committee on Appropriations last year. What the plan is to recover those. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Honourable Mother.
Thank you, Chairperson. Those a number of questions have been covered by my honourable member. It's just an addition on the comment of the accessibility. That's the major cry of the youth of the country, because we all know that the NIDA is in existence and it is allocated budget. But the issue of accessibility is what is problematic to the youth. Maybe my advice to them would be that they should consider having offices where people are, where the youth is. Maybe to make this example, I'm from Devon. There are some townships now, Chair, that are now very civilized. Take Umland, for instance. You've got a mall there, a mini mall, a mega city. Instead of having an NYDA right in Smith Street in the center of Devon, where the youth can access, you better have a satellite office or something in Umland, mega city, the mini shopping complex. Because that is to say, you are taking a program where the youth is. Also, not only the, but I've spoken to the chair during the break, not only the issue of township, we've got youth in rural areas. It's my belief that it's possible to take one of the satellite offices to Bizana, to Nongoma, to Msinga, because those are the people who are there, unemployed. For them to move to the cities, they must have relatives in a hostel or someone in order to even be able to come closer to your offices. But I'm saying we should also consider taking offices right to them. Thank you.
Can I ask a question first before I continue? Who is the CFO of this fund?
We have
Where is he? There's a big problem. And it becomes big in the sense that us, as this portfolio committee, indeed we have to do the oversight to the fund. But really where the heat and the war is with the finance, Standing Committee on Finance, Treasury, which gives that money and the community taxpayers, they want to know what is happening. You hear in the House when we start debating, there'll be a fight about the NYDA, not in this portfolio committee, but in the finance. Now, having said that, why I'm asking for the CFO is because the tabling of this budget, it is so poorly done. And it's a lot of money. But it is so badly tabled. And you're talking about the education skills development, but the very same people that are supposed to do that, this is what they're presenting to us. This is a confused budget. Whether you have done it deliberately, or you have done it because you don't have the knowledge necessity, only God knows. I'll tell you why I'm saying this. You know, Chairperson, you first give us, I'm not going to talk to the CEO, because I've been with the CEO in finance and you, including yourself, talking about this, but it doesn't change. Now, We're looking at the grant allocation. You know, you separate everyone to look at your framework. How you present the budget to the portfolio, it's bad. It needs to change. Now, you're looking at the grant allocation, and immediately after you've done that, you quickly go to the summary. Huh? And immediately after you've done the summary, we get confused, we don't know what is happening, we say break of salary. But as you go along, giving us the operating expenses, there's still another salaries and wages coming, appearing. Right? And then you go down further, you talk about expenditure. And then as you go down to the expenditure, one is getting a feeling of saying, okay, fine, we need to look at project designs, money requested, did it follow what was requested for? And with your presentation, it is not there, Chairman. It is not there. Now, it is so bad in such a way that there is terminology in finance that I don't understand. You're talking about market linkages. If I talk about linkages in microeconomics, it means something. I'm not going to dwell on this because it might happen that even the person who compiled this doesn't even understand what is linkages as far as economy is concerned. Now, that's what you need to take note of. And I'm assuming that next time the committee calls you, we're not going to have this. This is a confusing presentation of a budget allocation. Now let me go to what has been presented to you. The 408 million. This is what we are requesting. Remember, we are coming from 150 million irregularities. Right? Now, those 150 million of irregularities, I'm assuming we have improved on it. And the Finance Standing Committee is going to account on that when they speak. But I am looking at your revenues and I'm looking at your expenditure. You are still overspending with 17 million. Yes, you can calculate it on the air. I have calculated it on the paper. It's 17 comma something million. Come again? Yeah. Now, if chairperson, you look at the page and say summary, you look at the total revenue of 443 million. That's the revenue. That's what they've collected. That's the money in their hands. And you look at their total expenditure, which is sitting down there, which is 461 million. Doesn't it make a difference? Expenditure is higher than the revenue. The 70 million I'm talking about. Now. Yes, there is this thing which you call other employee-related costs. According to the money bills, we said we will run away from terminology called other costs, one, hidden cost, two. They are not in the money bill. You need to tell us what you do with the cent. This is the law. It's not us, it's the law that you're performing within it. This is not in one. And within your tabling, there are so much of the terminology that we do not understand. You look at the operating expenses. You look at the project disbursement. Now, they too have got the same content, much as it has got the different budget values, if you look at it. And it creates so much problem. It does. Now, Chairperson, to be honest with you, I don't think the NYDA puts the money where the needs are. The money is there, the needs are there, but the NYDA is not doing it correctly. Actually, why I'm saying this. If you look at the NYDA program, I am assuming here, they say economic participation. Can you measure that, Chairperson? How do you measure economic participation? For this committee to be able to do the oversight, for this committee to be able to say, okay, fine, economic participation, we have asked for 200 million. Now, us as the committee, this is what we're going to tax
and say no. But you said you are going to train 100 people, students for matric, for economic and police, whatever. We can't measure it. It's not there. Then it creates problems for this committee to say the money did follow, the resources did follow the allocation of the needs, what the money bills want. Now, but the other more confusing issue, Honorable Chairperson, is other programs. You know the NYDA, right? You take money, you take 7.8 million, you say, okay, this money is a special program in the office of a chairperson. What is it? This is a special program in the office of a chairperson. You know how much is that? 7.8 million. You also take another money, 2 million, to say this is a special program again to the deputy chair. Deputy chair, take this 2 million and you can make some special programs. Then it goes further. They say, chairperson, you know, CEO, take this 1.2 million. It's a special program. This is the taxpayers' money. This is the taxpayers' money, and we shall account. I was voted by 11 million people, and I want to be honest with them. When I stand in that podium, I need to know exactly why the NYDA must get the 400 million. Why?
She was the last one, and I'm sure just to take a bite, in terms of the AG's financial regulations reporting line standard, and I think she's talking to that because your template should be talking to that, and you have just totally disregarded that one. Whether you're new or not, you are here and you have to follow and learn quickly, and we're not going to take it kindly.
Can we quickly get responses?
Chairperson, thank you very much. I'll start. The Deputy Chair will add, and the CEO will then deal with the rest. Chair, perhaps just to touch on a few matters. This is the first time we are presenting to this committee. And so a number of the issues, I think, as we touch upon it, myself and the Deputy Chair specifically, there's quite a... in fact, we would even request that at some stage, if the committee would accept as an invitation to come and see the work that's been done, whether it's in Midrand, where the head office is located, but also to get an understanding of the merger that took place in 2009. So, for example, the response on the special project. Parliament had asked us to reduce your key performance areas. We reduced it.
I think you've been here since this morning, and we said that in terms of us visiting your project and all that will be done, we want you to convince us in terms of the money that you are requesting, that next week when we vote for your budget that you're giving you so much, focus on that. Others listen for the future. We're dealing the matter at hand now with the money that you are requesting from. So respond, try your level best to respond, to convince members that you really need that 400 million and what for. If you can stick to that, then I'll be happy.
Chair, should I answer the question on special projects? Okay. Chair, the reason you have special projects in the office of the chair and the deputy chair, because the instruction to reduce the key performance areas from 10 to 5, left us with a vacuum in the implementation of the national youth policy, for example, in terms of sports and recreation, which is in the youth policy. It meant that we could no longer implement, as per the Act, programs related to sports and recreation, etc. We had to find a way to do that. So, in fact, it came from the guidance of the Standing Committee on Appropriation to say, then create special projects to do that, but tailor-make your focus on five key performance areas, because we had sport and recreation as a sixth area, for example. We then moved that budget and created a Susano Fund. For example, on the NYDA website, we, as part of being open and transparent with young people, we say to them, this is what the 7.8 million has been spent on. These are the beneficiaries. These are the young people who benefited. So recently we had 50 young people from KZN whose registration fees as part of complementing the work of NESFA was paid for. So that's the special project here, just to answer that question. It deals with, for example, the Tusano Fund, which is sport and recreation work. It deals with things of arts and culture, for example, and all the other things that we had asked to reduce our areas to. Chair, the other question that I'd like to perhaps tackle in terms of the budget allocation, honourable, in terms of the salaries, Chair, salaries and wages. The last 4 years, the NYDA grant has been decreasing from the president. That has been accompanied with an increase in inflation, 5.6% on average for this year, for example, as well as increase in labour costs of 7.8%. So the result of the increases in inflation, labour, etc., were a decrease in grant. It meant we were spending less money on our on young people and more money on ourselves on factors out of our control. We had subsequently said that in terms of the business case to Parliament, that if this continues, we will definitely have serious issues in NYDA because labour discussions are out of our control, Chair. Inflation is out of our control. And so if you just take those factors in, so in, just as an example, Chair, we then said to the management team, relook at the structure, and for example, in IT we had 32 staff, they reduced it to 13 staff, for example. So you only have 13 staff in one unit, just as an example. So that we improvise as the grant decreases, but inflation, labour and all these other costs increase. Even with that, Chair, we're still unable to spend more money on young people and less money on ourselves. And again, when even the merger took place between Umsobomvu Youth Commission and the National Youth Commission, already you had two institutions with highly inflated wage bills, which we inherited. And no money was spent on the change management and the transition, therefore. So a large part of it is historical change that we've had to manage, and we subsequently have embarked on programs to do that. The CEO will talk on the loan and why and the debtors book as raised by honourable members. The grant funding, Chair, again in the principle of being open and transparent, as part of working with other states, every single project, Chair, and perhaps at some stage we will be able to refer to it, is in partnership with the government department. So the aim of mainstreaming, one of the three core functions of the NYDA, is to say we must, as the NYDA, have a flagship program with every government department. So, for example, on Youth Bills, Department of Human Settlement, we put 7 million rand, and the Department of Human Settlement puts the rest into the program. Grant funding, we had a target which Parliament approved. They said put 25 million rand, reach 500, and 500, we exceeded with 589. So a large part of it has been setting targets with the money we have and then slowly realizing those targets. In fact, part of the change in the perception, we actually, as NYDA, we solicited 86 million rand worth of donor funds because as part of the story credibility, there was a change in perception, and that's why we exceeded most of our targets, Chair. The accessibility is noted. We can't disagree. We have to make a bigger impact in terms of reaching especially rural youth in particular. The comments raised by Honourable Mente, Honourable Kwabe, Honourable Kado, Honourable Dirk, all the honourable members who have raised issue accessibility. To the extent that we have had a proposal from Deputy Minister Ayanda Dolo, for example, to say, how can they, youth community workers, partner with us, and then we extend the products and services of NYDA, working in partnership with community workers, for example. So the principle is that the NYDA can't do it alone. The NYDA doesn't have the infrastructure to do it alone, which the Deputy Chair will touch upon, and therefore they need to partner with other state entities to do that. It takes between 3 to 5 million rand to open an NYDA branch with 5 staff and maintain. Again, we don't have that money, Chair, because every year we are trying to meet inflation and labour costs on the one hand, and on the other hand, grant from the presidency keeps decreasing. So that alone, as I said, is just... But we are trying to be innovative. Social media, making use of cell phone technology, there's a website, there's a means of applying for the learnership. If you go onto the NYJ website, you can apply for a VW learnership now. So we're getting the private sector involved. We're getting, we're becoming a one-stop shop for youth development in the country. But again, Chair, our function as per the Act is to coordinate youth development, facilitate and mainstream in the main. And we do that by devising models, etc. But we acknowledge it, Chair, we will work harder to try and improve accessibility, and we welcome the comments made about how to do that. The mobile outreach, for example, using DSLs and going forward. We also acknowledge, Chair, that if there's a template for budgeting that, and the reporting standards, we will improve on that. We will make sure that the next time we do make a presentation to this committee, it's using the right template and so on going forward. So Chair, I would want to leave the rest of the questions, the responses to the CEO and the Deputy Chair. But just again to make mention, Chair, I think that perhaps as time goes on, we'll be able to share more information about what the mandate is and whether we have the budget to realize the legislative and policy issues currently that we are facing. Deputy Chair.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Chair, and good afternoon, honourable members. The question of on accessibility for us is key, and this is what I want to speak to. Our service delivery channels include 14 branches of the NYDA. Branches are in the main different offices located in different provinces. So our footprint includes about 14 branches throughout the province. We also have got about 198 local youth offices, and this is how a local youth office is set up. In the main, the existence of a local youth office is reliant on a partnership, a successful partnership between a municipality and NYDA. We enter into a relationship on the basis that the municipality will be able to avail the necessary infrastructure for us to be able to function there. What we also do is that because municipalities have got youth coordinators, we train those youth coordinators insofar as offer our product offerings. And therefore, those local or those youth coordinators will then be able to offer services to young people on behalf of the NYDA. Those offices are branded. They have adequate marketing collateral. We also link the systems of local municipalities with our main system so that products and services of National Youth Development Agency are offered right there. We are, however, concerned with the functionality of those local youth offices. We've undertaken to visit them, but in the main, I think the issue also speaks to the financial capitalization of the NYDA because of our inability to be able to run those local youth offices successfully. Ekurhuleni Municipality is one of the most glaring examples of how a successful partnership can culminate in these products and services being offered to young people successfully. This partnership, like I said, culminated in 10 local youth offices built in Ekurhuleni. This is a successful partnership between the NYD and the Ekurhuleni Municipality, and this happened last year. We, upon the appointment of the new board, you would know that we inherited an organization or institution with a credibility deficit. Among the biggest challenges that we have is our ability to be able to capture young people on the ground. The fact that we are raising the real issues of social distance between NYD and young people was a matter which we felt we needed to address. Not only are we addressing it through these local youth offices, not only are we doing it through engaging young people through our branches, our 14 branches, we've also conducted more than 100 youth dialogues in the past financial year. We've literally convened youth dialogues with young people. We've given them the opportunity to ask us very difficult questions about our functionality and how we'll be able to offer these products and services. We've also done so in a partnership with CIFA and IDC. Mention has been made of this partnership and the role of the NYDA in this regard. And our specific, honorable members, our specific bias has been rural youth through this youth dialogue. We've gone to rural youth. Young people have never been able to access our products and services. We may not have done enough. We want to do more. We want to access those local young people in Nongoma and elsewhere in the country and be able to speak to them about our products and services. Thank you very much.
Oh, because you're going to respond, right? And you're the last person.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that you don't practice the generally accepted accounting principles. I have that feeling. I can see my German is agreeing with me. That we, going forward, we need to maybe start there. Because it seems as if you spend as you wish, you know. I wanted to directly pose that question to you as the chief financial officer.
No,
CEO. Oh, okay. As the CEO. Oh, yeah, you're still a relevant person. That if we had time, I would want you maybe to start to a certain extent. Respond to that, you know, how do you take money, how do you spend your money? Because I can see that the accounting principles, it's as if like you just ignore them, you spend as you wish. And then be mindful that with public funds, you can't just spend as you wish, you must account for it. Moreover, that you want more funding. So it will be, I must be honest with you, it will be very difficult for us to give you more funding, especially if young people, they don't feel you on the ground. And Ghana, remember you are representing 40%, ne? Of the population. Is it 40%? Young people? 40? 42?
Depends where you are, sometimes you
Okay, so 42 or 52% of the population, cannot be wrong about yourself. I think you have the capacity, I'm not sure, but I think you have the resources, the necessary resources, and the infrastructure, and the opportunity to change the lives of young people. The previous leadership, they came into office, their term ended, there were problems. When they left, we thought when you are coming in, at least Chairperson, it will be better, but it seems like you are getting into more trouble. Look, we want this minister, not this minister, we want this commission, we want it. It's relevant, I must tell you. But the leadership must now, the leadership must be focused. You know, if young people can know that the CEO of the Youth Commission, of the Youth Commission, I want to be right, of the NYDA is unable to present on a PowerPoint. It's an embarrassment that the CEO, who accounts for how much? What is the total? Huh? 6.8 million. What is their total budget? 400. But cannot click twice on a PowerPoint slide so that it then clears the whole screen. It's an embarrassment, Chief. You account for a lot of money. In fact, if you are half a billion, I was going to say that if we approve this 400 billion, million, it means in the next financial year, we have to top it up again with 200. It will take you to 600. Next, because I can see that you are eager to control a budget of a billion. And within 5 years, you will definitely reach that. But you cannot operate a PowerPoint. You cannot present on a PowerPoint. Like, it's an embarrassment, Chief. So from today, please go back to your respective organization, do introspection. I don't want to talk about elections. This is the wrong platform to talk about it, because of part of the biggest resistance from young people is the NYDA. Young people were complaining about it. They were just not happy about it. So I don't want to go there. This is the wrong platform. I'm also disappointed that the deputy minister is not here. I think he has lost an opportunity to come and accept his leadership. Please, those who work with him must tell him that we are very disappointed that he did not come on such an important meeting. Let me pause there.
Can I put it?
Once again, let's close it. Let's leave it at that. Because I can see now members are raising hands. Let's leave your presentation at that. Next week we're going to vote. We're voting next week. It's fine. Thank you very much for your time. I know. They're still coming. I'm not done. I'm just saying we're wrapping up with NYDA. Thank you very much for your time. It's not for the first time that you are accounting to a portfolio committee. You've done that before. The next time you present to a portfolio committee, rather spend less sleepless night because of members, they also do that, you know. It has changed. It has changed, and I'm happy because the general practices of public administration is that politicians don't require any skill, right? But the ball has changed now. We can't have politicians who are clueless because of forever will make incorrect decisions. So it has changed. You must be equal to the task. When you come to this committee, you must know that then you're going to face people who can count immediately and tell you whether you have done the right thing or not. Can I now allow members to move on to monitoring and evaluation? Let's engage their reports. Are you ready? Okay, members, I'm going to acknowledge them.
Thank you so very much, Chair. Two issues that I would like to raise, Chair, with your permission, without knowing what I'm going to say. It's just to apologize to the department, BPG, and the chief of staff that we didn't have enough information. We spent about 10 minutes dealing whether we have to present or not. And we really would like, even from my side, to apologize to all the members to support what I was saying. But if you don't have information, you'll never be wrong. But it's the right thing to do to apologize. And to your good self, Chair, because you persuaded us, but I couldn't appreciate why you were doing that. I saw Koba, they were in jail, Chair. I saw Koba. Other than that, I'm fine. Only to advise, which is my second point, DPG, with the delegated authority for now. Your first structure, how the structure is like in terms of your boxes. It would be nice to have a second structure that separates your good stuff from State SA and also NYDA. Because you were right, but technically we're not quite so right, because you still also gave us that one without also giving us an understanding why we are different from the India department. Thank you, Chair.
Yula, right? DDG. See, there's the transference of responsibility. This is vote 6. You can hear what the members are expressing about the NITA. I hope you are going to tell the minister and the deputy the back stops with them. Doesn't stop with anybody. Parliament is not set aside. And I do hope that you are taking quite cognizance of the fact that this responsibility is your responsibility. And you people are going to take and assist LYDA to achieve in the manner that we have said it. And you see, there's a lot of duplication with what the Department of Public Administration is doing. Coming to citizenship and how you want to go out and engage. Because it's still new, next time I don't think it's going to be easier for us to say the finances, the fiscal that we are spending, would have to go to DPME on the same mandate it goes to monitoring and evaluation with no clarity. You need to work on it. But quite clearly for some of us, if we miss you in the department, we'll definitely meet you in SCOPA, we'll meet you, the auditor general. So even for NYK, it goes the same way. That if you don't improve in how you're arranging these things, we have got a clear mandate from our party that says we need to make government be more representable, to be more in the face of the people. It's not going to be nice. We like all of you, but it's not going to be nice. So we do hope that you reflect strongly on what you are saying and take it a little bit more serious, so that you don't kick each other quite hard. But we have a responsibility, a public representative, mandated by the same people here, that you must be. And we are looking for that.
Thank you, Chair. On the government assessment tool, a mention has been made of the limitations due to fund constraints. I just wanted to check, about only 25 municipalities are done per annum. What has been the progress so far with the implementation of that tool? Because my arithmetic says if 25 municipalities are done per annum, it says to me, maybe I'm subject to correction, it will take us more than 10 years to address all the municipalities. That's the impression that I'm getting. So I just wanted to check progress. Are we making progress, if any? Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
On frontline service delivery, you have indicated that there will be unannounced visits, that's fine, but you also have a piloting system on citizen-based monitoring. I would like to know, how are you going to roll that out, the pilot itself, because piloting takes a lot of money. And if we are not going to be serious about piloting and then using money on something that might work and might not work, so how are you going to roll that out and the time frame for you to come back to us? Also, on the public progress reporting, there is a tool that you wanted us to support you on the website. But if I remember correctly, there was first an SMS line which did not work out. How do you expect us to give you money to establish a website which is an elite tool, whereas the SMS is a broader tool for people to use, and that SMS line also is not so proactive? So how do we then give you money to develop a website which around about 30% of our people will be using it? So I need to understand what is wrong with the SMS line, because the SMS line also is not working efficiently. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, DDG, for your presentation. I mean, I think the work done by the department is very important because it goes to the heart of what government does. It has very cross-cutting transverse responsibilities. So for that reason, you know, it's somewhat perplexing that the budget of 200 million rand odd is almost on a par with the salary budget for the NYDA. I mean, you know, it really does raise questions about perspective. I wanted, as a matter of clarity, to find out what the nature of the institutional and budgetary relationship is between the National Planning Commission Secretariat and the DPME. I'm not quite sure how that works or how it's going to work going forward, because my understanding was that they were going to be melded or joined somehow. I mean, surely one of DPME's primary roles over the next 5-year period, at any rate, is to monitor and evaluate the implementation of the National Development Plan. Are there sufficient funds available for that? How exactly are the funds built into the budget? Then I've got two very specific questions about some of the budgetary implications from your presentation. You spoke on the one hand about Operation Pakisa. Now, I take it that most of the money for this is going to come from fisheries on the one hand and health on the other to do these pilot projects. What is the nature of DPME's financial obligations in this regard? And I also want to get more clarity on the budgetary implications of the Interministerial Committee on mining towns, distressed mining towns. Because from what I can remember, you grouped these two things under something called monitoring and evaluation policy / capacity building, the budget for which was only 8.2 million rand, which doesn't sound like very much. That's all. Thank you.
Honourable Member, thank you very much for the question. I'll take them with the last question in order and then go straight support, and then I'll answer most of the questions, but I'll also ask the Head of Planning and the acting CFO to please answer or add if there are any key issues I might have left out. Maybe let me start with the medium-term strategic framework and whether there are sufficient funds for this, and the link in terms of the budgeting line vis-à-vis the NPC and the DPME. Essentially, how it's going to work following the announcement made by the President, as we understand it, in terms of the budget allocation, the funding flows, at least at this point in time, remain as they were before, which means the NPC Secretariat continues to receive an allocation via budget vote one. The similar arrangement as the NYDA. For ourselves as DPME, we get the funding flow through budget vote 6. We have a team of at least 11 sector level experts who are appointed at level 15, and they are responsible for the outcomes. They are primarily responsible for planning in terms of the MTSF as a 5-year plan according to the sector. They do the interface in terms of engaging the executive. They are the ones who are primarily driving the planning, monitoring, and evaluation work. It has been quite instructive the way that the work goes done, because as honourable members will recall, the announcement that DPME and the NPC Secretariat should work together in implementing the National Development Plan was made last year, when the National Development Plan was handed over by the then Minister of Planning. At the time, what we had were sector experts that were appointed for the 12 outcomes that I spoke about. For some of the outcomes, not all, say outcome 1, in outcome 5, which are basic education and higher education. We have only got one sector expert who handles both of them. Another one where we have one person handling two key sectors is for the safety and security and international relations. To manage our constraints at the time, we worked out an arrangement where as DPME we had sector expertise to drive the 5-year planning as part of the MTSF. We did so. Where some of the capacity lay with the National Planning Commission Secretariat as a sister department, we then allocated the function to them. For example, for the social protection and social cohesion, they were primarily driven by National Planning Secretariat because they had the expertise, and they also assisted greatly in terms of the public service one. So in a quick way, there have not been additional finance implications in terms of implementation of the MTSS, because we've had to work with what we've got. And the understanding is that we have to maximize on capacity we have at DPME and also leverage of capacity we've got in the NPC Secretariat. But the funding streams are exactly as I've indicated. At this point in time, politically, as correctly the acting chairperson indicates, the arrangements are as I laid them out, but I completely take the suggestion that we also do a, almost like a meta or another a slide that gives a full breakdown of how we are structured as DPME. It is represented in the strategic plan in the APP, but I think it would be only correct to have a breakdown in the presentation here. But Honorable, there are no immediate financial implications in terms of human resources for the implementation of the MTSF. We are having to work with what we have got. Operation Pakisa, we have, for example, for the one on the ocean economy, we have had a significant allocation by the Department of Environmental Affairs. So while fisheries is part of it, the lead department in terms of Operation Pakisa for the ocean economy is DEA in collaboration with us. The approach we have taken, as our minister and the president indicated, was of looking at international best practice, look at what the Malaysians did, interrogate what the implications are for what our country can do given our own unique circumstances. At the beginning, for the ocean economic one, we have sought to utilize McKinsey as a team that was a facilitating group when Malaysia did its work. And what we have landed up with is an instance where we've got an allocation through the National Planning Commission, we've got an allocation from DPME, we've got an allocation from DEA, and those parties have contributed. I can give an exact figure at a later stage. I don't have them right now, but we can give you a breakdown of exactly how much each department is making a contribution to this. The same will apply for health, the planning secretaries, ourselves, and the Department of Health are all making a contribution towards Operation Pakisa. What we have tried to do with the ocean economy is to ensure that we deploy more than one sector expert from NPC secretaries and DPME to deal with a situation whereby we want to unlock potential in economies where we have not done so before. Have groups of stakeholders interrogate what the particular sector entails, what opportunities it presents, identify where the country can invest, including work from private sector. But what we want to do is we delegate a lot of our sector experts, at least three, to be part of this, so that in future when we implement another a project in a different sector, we do not completely rely on a consultancy group. We use the process to also build capacity, have a sector expert within the president and other departments be part of Operation Pakisa from the beginning, so that when we move to health and other sectors, we begin to have officials driving the process rather than allocating a share towards consulting primarily. With regards to the website, Honorable Mente, there are two considerations here, and perhaps I must say that perhaps it was not completely clear what I was referring to. The web-based program that the Honorable Member is referring to is the program of action, which reflects the key indicators and targets across the different outcomes. So when you log on to our website as DPME, the Presidency, you can have an indication of the last reporting cycle and how at that time we interrogated the indicators, the targets, and we gave an indication of this was the baseline in 2009, as at last measurement, this is where we were sitting. So for example, in the health one of the key targets there is the extent to which we build on the program for rolling out ARVs. As honorable members are aware, pre the previous administration, we were looking at 1.5 million people placed on treatment, and our role is to check on a regular basis whether there are improvements in this program, given its implications for ensuring quality of life for most South Africans. So we track that and give you an indication through that web-based system what the target was, what is the latest measurement, and we acknowledge, Honorable Mentor, that its access is limited, yes, to a number of people who can access the web. But certainly what it provides is an instance whereby even if you go to the safety and security one, you can track the levels of content crime and the extent to which they are declining, and you can go to rural development, identify in terms of baselines and targets and progress, what progress we are making and where there are challenges. We do the same across economic infrastructure, rural transformation, environmental management, international relations, basic education, looking at grade R and ECD, all of these programs that were identified as part of the previous and current administration as priorities are logged on the Program of Action website. The other system that the Honorable Member is referring to is one that lends itself more to the citizen-based monitoring, where through either presidential hotline, people can send messages to a number, or they can call, or they can fax. Our view is that, as I mentioned, with the presidential hotline, we are not doing that at all. In fact, a resolution rate, in our view, of over 90%, we think signifies in good progress. The challenge that we raise in the presentation is the extent to which we believe we can still improve the turnaround time in terms of responding. The resolution is good, but we acknowledge that we do need to look at issues around the response. What is the target in terms of responding upon receipt of a concern? Another factor that's been raised, and I think Honorable Mentor raised it and others, is the extent to which we fully interrogate some of the mechanisms we introduce and the extent to which they are truly accessible to everyone. Because there are limitations, admittedly, in terms of access to internet. Honorable Ntombela, around the local government, absolutely correct, it could take some time. What I mentioned when I was presenting, and perhaps I could have emphasized this a little bit more, is that last year was really the start of this program. Before that, we were doing a quality of assessing quality of management practices in national and provincial departments. This local government one is a very new one. So essentially, last year there are three major things that happened. It was up around developing the tools to make sure that all the key stakeholders that have a bearing on this work in the local government space, especially given the service delivery focus, contribute to what exactly our teams as the Presidency will go into the field and fully assess. Give a rating that is accurate and points to significant problems where these exist. That was the first part. Consensus, development of the tool, and that's what we then did, is we then piloted it in 10 municipalities across the country. Primarily northwest, we went to the Eastern Cape as well, and a few in Gauteng. And what we did, similar to the national and provincial ones, we have the tools done. We encourage the process of us assessing the work, but also getting departments to also self-assess and rate themselves accordingly, because we're going to look at whether there's an interface between how they assess themselves and how they perform. We then prepared assessment reports and also a cabinet report submission to give an indication of what we found. It is correct to say that if we go on a 25 by 25 route, it could be a very protracted process, given the urgent needs on the ground. But what we are conscious of is the extent to which we can motivate for more work to be done, given that actually our budget has not increased that much. The team I have right now that is responsible for local government work only includes about 3 directors. One, a level 15 deputy director, general sector expert, and then we've got a few deputy directors and some assistant directors. So we have to manage how we make the most of that resource. We properly partner with DCOG so that we complement, because they are also quite big in that space. If this is essentially about what DPME believes at this point in time they can do properly. In terms of our current engagement with Treasury, this local government one is one of those we are advocating for an increase in allocation to, because we completely understand and appreciate the issue that you are raising about really scaling up the program. When we started with the national and provincial one, it started a little bit slow because we needed to be quite comprehensive about what got done. But at this point in time where we are sitting, we have a situation whereby all national and provincial departments have been engaged. And what we have to look at is how do we build on how it was done there, the implications for us for doing the same as a local government space. Just wrapping up, Honourable Member, I note the concerns that are raised by Honourable Boyd. They are appreciated. We will communicate to our principals accordingly. Our goal has been about ensuring that we respond to the mandate we are giving, ensuring that as much as possible we interface with DPSA. Members will recall in the morning they kept referring to work we do collaboratively. We appreciate their synergies in terms of what they do and what we do too. But the point is very well taken and appreciated. I don't know if I can ask you, Mr. Madala, and if there's anything you'd like to add, anything to say, anything else.
I've left up.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just 2 things. On CBM, we are currently doing the pilot in this current financial year. The results will be published in our website. So we've got 3 departments in which we're doing the pilot to see if it works. But hopefully. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying we are doing work. We are doing pilot. That work will be completed and will be posted on the website on completion. But we've got 3 pilot areas that we are working on. And in the main, in doing this work, we use a lot of donor funding because donors are very interested in this initiative that we've started. So they are funding us mostly for this project. I think the other one which was left out by my learned DG, it's Mining Town, our involvement in Mining Town. In essence, we are providing secretarial services to the IMC with regard to Mining Town. So we do a lot of research and make sure that when the IMC meets, the information, we record the progress and so on. So that is by and large what we do. I think those are the two issues which I thought were not answered.
Thank you, Chair.
And
just to add on that CBA, you also requested to know what is the time frame. We are now on a, there are three phases that we actually started with this. It's, the first one was the development of the framework of CBN, and now we're on the second phase, which is the piloting. And the piloting, the time frame has already started, and it ends next year in March 2016. And the third phase will be the implementation. Once everything has been done, the research has been done, then we do a program of action for implementation. Thank you.
Similarly, as we have done with the frontline service delivery monitoring one, we will table, the trend is that we table as the first port of call to the department responsible for that particular area, so that we work with them to improve what we have found. We table this at cabinet and for further guidance to attend to issues which the honourable member correctly raises around how do we know that something has worked, and when do we then decide to move from pilot phase to implementation? We will take the same approach regarding that. Just lastly, honourable member, around the IMC, that as you are aware, also a part of other support that as DPME we were also providing support to the mining framework work that the DP was responsible for, and as you recall from the State of the Nation address that then gets handled by the President, our minister is responsible for convening the IMC on the distressed mining town. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much, Member. Satisfied? All right. Thank you very much, DDG, and for the responses as well. But please convey the message that in future we would appreciate that the leadership, if one of them is not here at least, the DG must be here, especially when we're dealing with budget. All right, thank you very much. You are excused. Okay, member? Can I clarify one issue that really caused confusion this morning? I thought Minister Chabani was going to deal with it, but I think I'm also in a position to deal with it because there's a correspondence from the Speaker's office, announcements, tabling, and committee reports. I don't know if members did receive that. Okay. Just to clarify, in terms of departments that will be accounting to this portfolio committee, it's National Planning, it's National Youth Development Agency, it's Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, Public Service and Administration. They will all be